Hey guys, welcome back to the Babbling Pastor podcast. I'm your host Michael, and this is your host
Rob.
Oh my goodness, man, this production value has just plummeted. I gotta find a new intro song. Hey guys, welcome back. I mean, hey, if this wasn't the podcast that was at the bottom of people's list before, it is 100%. They don't even got the intro song anymore. The epic part's gone. So, welcome back, guys, to the Babbling Pastor podcast on the Honest Youth Pastor YouTube channel. We are, this month, going through and looking at, hey, how do we study our Bible? What are the things that we should look for if we're maybe doing the old... Rob, I know that I did this. I'm sure you did, too. Where when you were, like, maybe a kid, you were just like, I don't know what to read. Okay, that's the verse I'm going for today.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then when you very first begin to get super spiritual, right, then you'll do the thing, right? And then whatever book it was, okay, I'm going to read that book, right?
I don't know if I ever got that super spiritual. I was like, that's a lot of reading.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Well, I mean, maybe, just be
maybe
honest.
I'm alone.
You're more super spiritual. Hey, if you did that, let us know in the comment section. So today we're going to be looking at another one. Last week we looked at Rob had, well, by the time this airs, he's already preached through it, but it's Ephesians 1, 3 through 12. I am currently building a sermon that's not quite done, but it's going to be on Joshua 24, specifically verse 15, but one leading up to 15. And so I thought it would be an interesting thing to look at. Obviously, this is going to be a bit opposite of what we looked at last week. So if you did hear that episode, we were talking about one of the first things you want to look for is context. And so by the, you know, if we're starting in Ephesians 1, then we kind of already know sort of the context. The context we're trying to figure out then is going to be, you know, who the Ephesians, what are they, you know, why is Paul writing to them, all of this sort of stuff. And you're starting in chapter 1, so that's obviously quite a bit easier. Now, if we're going to Joshua 24, well, you're at the end of the book. A lot has happened up to this point, so that means you're going to have to do either... You either have a study Bible, and like Rob said before, you can kind of get an overview of that, the book, or you can read through the whole thing. Now, obviously, 24 chapters is quite a bit longer than 6, so that's going to take a bit more to get through, clearly. And one of the things I think we need to recognize as we're talking about, like, kind of working through, you know, how to do Bible study, what are the things you need to look for if you do happen just to end up in a random chapter at the end of Joshua, is that cultural context is going to be hugely different. I don't know if that's a proper sentence, but it's going to be different. Old Testament context is going to be much different than New Testament context in regards to culture, how people do things. I mean, you're talking about vastly different context that you're working in. So obviously, those are the first things you're wanting to figure out. Now, in this particular thing, when we're at 24, we've gotten to the very end, and so let's just say you're just introing at 24. There's obviously a lot of stuff I want to say here because I'm sort of trying to do some prep on it, but let's say, Rob, if you're just getting to 24, what are the first things you're doing? Because are you going to go all the way back and read all the chapters before, or are you just going to start trying to say context clues here for 24? Like, how would you... I'm not going to... I mean, if I'm just doing basic Bible study and not sermon prep, I'm not reading all chapters between 24. Mm-hmm. But what are the context clues that you're looking for if this is something that you just come upon?
One pretty easy trick, and it's because most Bibles nowadays, most translations have these. One of the things that you can do instead of going backwards and reading all of Joshua is anytime you write a paper, right, for college or anything like that, you're taught the how things are formed, right? Like a paragraph or your thesis statement and then the conclusion or whatever. Well, I mean, that's all over the place, right? I mean, I would look at the headings. That can actually be helpful, right? So the heading in this Bible of 24 just says Joshua gathers Israel. Not incredibly helpful, okay? But okay, great. I guess I don't have to read that now. But so the heading by itself isn't that helpful, because the heading for 23 is Joshua calls all Israel. But as you go backwards, you can go back even several chapters and get like a baby version of contextually what has been kind of happening just by doing that, digging into a bunch of extra things. But
well, one thing too, as you're mentioning that, I think is really important that came to mind here that we haven't mentioned, and I don't know if it would have been top of mind to really talk about it, but having different maybe translations available too, because mine, for example, 23, the heading is Joshua charges all of Israel's leaders, and then 24 is the covenant renewed at Shechem. So obviously different Bible translations are using, those titles are either going to be a bit more vague, as you've mentioned, or maybe a little bit more specific. So having maybe different Bible translations there, I mean, not like 12, but maybe 3, it's going to be helpful to you in saying like, oh, okay, well, this translation, maybe their focus wasn't on making these titles super specific, but if you have a different one, that is going to be able to catch you up a bit on that for sure. Yeah. But anyway, I thought that was interesting as you were reading that. That's an important thing. If you're definitely doing Bible study or maybe devotions, having a few different translations would be helpful. But keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah. No, you're good. And again, I think it's helpful for people to realize too, and we said this last time, is that a lot of these tools are available online for free. Like, you don't have to have a pastoral library or something to have these tools. The introductions to books, different translations, you can get all those kinds of things. You can even find some commentaries online for free. So, but one of the things that I would notice right away, so I try to do, so you're talking about specifically verse 15, okay, which is a very famous bumper sticker kind of verse, right?
Yes.
At least the last phrase of it, right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, or we will serve Yahweh in this translation. But but one of the things that I would do is, and we would both agree, you don't ever just read one verse, right? So even if you're not going back to chapter 15 and reading it all, so you get the context of verse 15 here, you're still not going to read just one verse. So in this Bible, this is a verse by verse format. And so at the beginning of each paragraph, is the verse number is bold. Okay. A lot of people don't have verse by verse formats. It's just paragraph format. So what you would want to do is at least go back to the beginning of that paragraph. Okay. What you're going to quickly realize is that the beginning of that paragraph says, so now. What does it say in ESV?
Now therefore fear the Lord. Yeah. So I mean, okay. It's basically so now.
So you really have no choice but to go backwards a little bit, right? Even if you're just skimming through the whole of chapter 24, right? It's helpful, again, even if you're just trying to dig in on one verse to understand, is there like an entire theme of Joshua? Like, what's happening in the book, right? And in Joshua, Moses has passed away, and Joshua is taking Moses' place and leading Israel in conquest of the promised land, right? That's the basic context. That's what has been happening in Joshua. And that's easy to find out, super easy to find out, no matter the book, just searching it online. So you might want to do that, knowing, but so now, or now therefore, tells you that he's making a conclusion right now, or there's some kind of conclusion happening that of something that happened before. So at the very least, I am going to go back to the beginning of chapter 24 and read, and you know, not do a deep study, but read through it to understand why he says so now, or now therefore. And he says, and if you look at it, he essentially leads them through a really brief, non-detailed baby version of the history of what has been happening. Mm-hmm. And so that, so now, just from looking at it for a few minutes, that so now means, in light of all that God has done among us, now, therefore, fear Yahweh and serve him in integrity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve Yahweh. If it is evil in your sight to serve Yahweh, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. That's the big, the big cliffhanger choice right there, right? Whether the gods which your fathers today whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. So this is like a big punchline for Joshua in this moment. But then what I always do as one of my first exercises, and I don't know if this is right or wrong or whatever, it's just what works for me, is I'll walk through, in this case, I would walk through verses 14 and 15, right? Because that's a really short paragraph. Another thing to know is that not every translation has the same exact paragraph. Sometimes that's a little different. But,
yeah.
But this is just two verses, right? So I'm gonna walk through 14 and 15 and make every observation I can possibly make with that text. And this is going to sound ridiculous, but when it says, so now, fear Yahweh and serve him in integrity, okay? Just that one, that's not even, and truth, okay? We'll go there. So that first bit of the phrase, right? I know that there are things or people that can be feared. I know that the right thing to be feared is Yahweh. I know that you can fear Yahweh. That's possible. And we know that you can serve him, that you can serve him. It's possible to serve him. Well, how do we serve him? What does that mean? How does that work? Well, it's important that it's in integrity and truth. And so you would, okay, if these might be really basic and obvious, but what does truth mean? What does integrity mean? Right. So, I walk away with, and it's a lot by the time I'm finished working through a passage. But a lot of observations about it and questions, you know. So I might ask, what does he mean by integrity? What does he mean by truth? Have they not been serving him in integrity and truth? You can also observe in this first verse here that there are gods that their ancestors served, right? Okay, what does that look like? So that's what I do, like observation and questions.
Yeah.
That's how I very first begin to break down a text. So,
well, and I think, so what you're talking through there is really what Bible study is going to look like, right? So it's one of those things, especially going back to what I said before when we're talking about cultures and whatnot, the difference in the Old Testament culture and context versus the New Testament culture and context versus our culture and context. Obviously, these are all separated in through time. And so understanding that there is a line that flows through all of them, especially what you were talking about in regards to fearing and serving Yahweh. Okay, well, everybody and every time can do that. Well, how do we do that in sincerity and faithfulness? Awesome. And then talking about understanding what that looks like and what that means for them in this time, which, as you've already said, going forth in the next verse, putting away those gods, what would that have looked like again? I mean, you know, maybe in New Testament time, what does that look like for us? But understanding those terms and really breaking it down, not just reading over it and, like you said, like, I think digging in rather than assuming, right? So we assume like, oh yeah, you know, fear God and serve him. Well, like you said, putting that anchor down in that verse and saying, okay, what does that mean though? What does that look like? And I think you really touched on it too. Do the following verses give me some sort of context of what he's trying to tell them this does look like then? So fearing and serving Yahweh in integrity and truth then, or sincerity and faithfulness, depending on the translation. Well, he follows that up with what that looks like then. Well, that means putting away the gods of your fathers beyond the river. But he does so, he gives them that option, right? So, like, me and my family are going to serve, but you're going to have to pick whether you're going to serve and fear Yahweh in this way or not. But this is what that would look like, meaning putting away the gods of your ancestors. But he's not just being I think, again, when you're digging in to this, like you're encouraging people to do, what you're going to see is that, like, it's not just like a basic overreading is not going to catch it. Really digging in is going to mean it. So not only is he saying, hey, put away those gods, he's being very specific. Put away the gods of your fathers beyond the river. Okay, well, what is he for river and in Egypt? Okay, well, there's a lot of study we could do about those gods and what those gods look like. But he's not just talking about those. Put beyond the river and in Egypt, and the evil in the eyes, serve the Lord. Choose this day who you will serve, whether it be the gods of your fathers, serve beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. So he's saying, like, hey, yeah, there was a bunch of gods they served. And you're like, oh, we don't serve those. But you're still in this land, and you have a possibility to serve these gods. So, like, he's really, mm-hmm. like, when you're digging in, he's being very specific. Like, when you fear and serve Yahweh in sincerity and faithfulness, what that means is you're putting away these gods, not just your ancestors' gods, but also the gods that are right in front of you right now in the land that you're at, and then mm-hmm. putting that before them and saying, like, okay, that's your choice. Now, me and my family, because of everything we didn't read, which is verses 1 through 13, like, God has been faithful, and we're banking on that faithfulness, and we're making this choice based on that. Like, all of this sort of snowballs down when you're really reading through it, and like you said, digging in and not just kind of glazing over it. Like, oh, he gave us a brief history of Israel. Like, that's really important because that's the foundation of his argument. Like, we can't just be like, yeah, we know all of that. I mean, basically what Joshua does here is do sort of a Stephen S. sort of thing in Acts, where he's like, here's the whole history. This is what I'm basing my decision on, all of this.
Yeah.
And then and the landing on that. I mean, and like you said, I think it's really important, and we don't do it enough because we think it's sort of tedious or it takes too much time. But digging in and say, what does it mean then to fear and serve? What does sincerity and faithfulness look like? And what does he tell us that it looks like? And I think all of that, what you're saying, is incredibly important there. I've got some more too, but what else are you looking for here, or what else are you doing?
Well, I think one of the things that came out in just the discussion between you and I, you're using ESV, right?
Yeah.
This is a Legacy Standard Bible, and I would say if you have a study Bible like we talked about last time, you already have this. But at the very least, it's really helpful to have a reference Bible of some sort, right? And that just means that they have these cross references and stuff, right? And at the bottom, you'll see like the little number one, right? Where yours says faithfulness and mine says truth. I have a little number two there. And if I go down here into the margins, it says, or faithfulness, right? So sometimes those are really, really helpful to give you even a more robust understanding of what's actually being said. So I would make sure that you do that. But something else that came up just in listening to you is, at a certain point in the study of these two verses, you realize, right, okay, well, he's basing his choice not to serve the gods of Egypt that their fathers served, not to serve the gods of these fools all around them, but to serve Yahweh. He's basing that on what has already been stated in the rest of chapter 24. So at that point, it's probably a good idea to then go backwards again to the rest of that chapter, so that you really understand what he's talking about, and make a short list of the things that God has done for them, to them, through them, whatever it might be, right? Make a short list of the things that God has done, the things that he's like staking his claim on, that he's putting his faith in that God because da 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 da, right? And pretty quick, you're going to end up with a devotion in
well, it's true, yeah, because you're backwards engineering it essentially. I mean, because we're coming into it. And I don't think we know this, and sometimes it's way too daunting for us, which is why we don't do it. But we're coming into the text really ignorant of what has happened or what's going on. Most of the time, we're entering into it with like a very Sunday school mentality of history. Of what's going on, and we're not understanding, like, if Joshua is basing his entire claim on Yahweh, like, he's saying all these gods are jokes, there's no reason to serve them. Well, like you said, like, why then? And if you go through and actually look up all the reasons he gives, you have another 12 days of reading to go into each of those reasons in the Old Testament and to really deep dive and explore and see that and really dig in. Because if these are the high points that Joshua is pointing out in his history of why he believes Yahweh to be the God of all things, then digging into each of those, I think, is incredibly useful, especially if he's staking his entire claim on it. And it's one of those things that will really lead you down a really deeper path of understanding who God is and what he's done, other than a superficial one of just reading over. And Joshua's like, oh, yeah, well, Joshua said this, I'm, you know, my house will serve the Lord, so my house will too. But not knowing why. And that's incredibly important. Now, moving, unless you have anything else, I think there's one more thing I want to talk about.
No, go ahead. Reading,
especially when it comes to these coffee cup verses like you talked about at the beginning, this is definitely one of them. We had a plaque in my house when I was growing up that said this. Yep. And so not only knowing the why of what comes before it, but obviously just continually reading. I mean, afterwards is a very interesting discussion that occurs with Joshua and the people. And he says, you know, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But then verse 16, it says, then the people answered, far be it for us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us out of brought us and our fathers from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery, and who did great signs in our sight and preserved us in all ways that we went, and among all peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord delivered us, drove us before, I'm sorry, I can't read. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord our God. So he said, hey, this is what I'm staking my claim on. And the people basically say, hey, no, yeah, for sure. We'll definitely do that too. You've given us good reasoning. But then Joshua says something very interesting to the people in 19. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions of your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people spoke to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are a witness against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord and to serve him. And there's this whole back and forth. But the idea being that Joshua is warning them, hey, when you make this covenant, when you're saying, no, I will definitely do this, he goes, okay, you're a witness against yourselves if you do break if you break your word about serving the Lord. And so I think sometimes, if we're talking about context again, it's one thing to have the coffee cup Bible verse of I will serve the Lord. It's one thing to also know, like, oh, well, this is why Joshua has choosing to do that and really digging into what it means to serve in faithfulness and all that. It's another thing to understand, like, what plays out after this coffee cup Bible verse of the people, much like us, are like, yeah, definitely we'll do that. Yes, everything you named is good. And Joshua goes, yeah, but you're going to be a witness unto yourself that if you don't do this, this is what the Lord's going to do. And so understanding, again, this whole narrative, I think, is really important. And digging in, as you've already stated, to, you know, these words and what they mean and what he's truly saying, what he's basing it on, understanding that, and then going further in the narrative to seeing the people's reaction and why, instead of Joshua going, good, we're all set, why does he react the way he does then? And so, like, I think understanding that and really reading through it is important. Because not only does it set us up for what happens after the book of Joshua and the history of Israel, seeing that really play out versus what the people said and what they did and all the covenants that there's like, oh, we'll definitely keep that. But application wise, it kind of shows the human condition as well and how, you know, what we say matters and if we're just following along or if we really believe it. And I think diving into that sentence by sentence, verse by verse, like you've stated, really helps that come out and be alive to us. I mean, really, honestly, what we've talked about already is like 4 months worth of Bible study that you could do diving in. But understanding that, like, that's how deep the word is versus just a cursory reading of it, like really getting an understanding of what's being said and what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is just an observation, right? And you can tell me if you don't agree, but I think that you will. Most of the sermon reviews that you would do from people who are just ripping verses out of context or making their point around one phrase of one verse that really, if you even read the verse, it has nothing to do with what they're saying. It's because they don't care to do what we've just been talking about. That for them, so often for those kind of preachers, it's about trying. I have a point I want to make. Now let me take everything that even sounds like it and make my point, even if none of those verses actually mean that point. Right. And so like a lot of times when I hear like Furtick, for instance, or some of those kind of guys, that's what's happening. Right. You might have as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? Or whatever, with his muscles and all that. But there's nothing to that, you know, that there won't be anything substantial about what they're saying, at least nothing as deep as what you would get simply by looking at the before and after as he makes that point. And it ends with a new covenant being cut here between God and his people, and you walk away from this knowing that who is God? He's a faithful God, and he's a jealous God, and he's a God that demands worship. He's a God that's worthy of worship. You learn a lot about who God is. You learn a lot about the things that he's done. You learn a lot about who the people of God are in light of that and what they should be doing as the people of God. There's a ton that you get out of that you wouldn't otherwise just by going, okay, what's verse 15 say, you know?
Yeah, well, and one of the things I think, especially with the Old Testament, you're mentioning the sermon reviews, a lot of what I've noticed at least is the Old Testament is sort of the favorite place to go for people that want to read you into Scripture really easily because it's easy to do. Because it's very narrative driven. It's not really practical driven. It's not like the practicalities of how Christ affects your life, like Paul talks about a lot. It's very narrative driven, and you can very easily read yourself into a narrative. And one of the things I think the secondary hopes of kind of walking people through, like, hey, when you open this up, what are you looking for? Is to kind of guard against that sort of thing. Because my guess, I don't know, Furtick may have preached on this before, but somebody like him is definitely going to give the air of, well, here's the context. So he's probably going to talk about all the great things that God has done before, for sure. He's probably going to get to the verse about, for me and my house will serve the Lord. And then it is going to take a drastic turn into you. This is what it looks like for you to serve the Lord. These are the benefits you get from serving the Lord. This is why you should serve the Lord, because of these benefits. And I would say probably guarantee we're not going to get past verse 15. We're really not going to go into, hey, don't say this unless you mean it, because these are the consequences of this. And we're definitely not going to get into, and this is what the people of God did afterwards, and this is what happened to them. We're never going to touch that, because it's going to be very much about, this is what, I mean, it's going to stop at verse 15 and be very much about you should serve the Lord. Why? Because he's blessed the Israelites and he'll bless you, and look at all the blessings you get from serving the Lord. And one of the things that I think is missing often from those sermons, and we haven't talked about this, maybe it'll come up a little bit more in the next couple, but it's very easy to make this like devoid of Christ, because it's the Old Testament. So it's one of those things where we're reading it and we're not even really looking for Christ here, because like, why would we? It's Joshua. But one of the things as Christians on the other side of the cross, that as we are reading this, that we can look for, is like, it's not that, you know, Jesus was God's plan B, right? It's not like, oh, well, this didn't work, so I guess we'll have to throw Jesus in. I mean, this is the promise from the garden, that, you know, his he will bruise the head of the serpent. So what can we, I think one of the things that we can look for here is like, well, what does this mean for us now then in application is that, you know, now we have the cross. Now we have Jesus. So when we're serving, you know, I mean, just to use your example earlier, when we're looking about that, therefore now fear and serve the Lord with sincerity and faithfulness, well, what does that mean for us now as believers? I mean, the Israelites didn't have Christ. Yeah. And so now we're looking at that through a different lens of saying, okay, well, this is what they were supposed to do. Here's the application for them. Obviously, there's application for us, but that application for us comes through the cross. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, his coming again. And so the application is going to be a bit different for us. So I think what happens all the time, especially when people preach sermons out of the Old Testament, how I believe, you know, somebody like Furtick would, is it'll end with serve the Lord your God because look at all these things he did and, you know, be firm in those promises. And then it'll be devoid of Christ entirely. Well, as New Testament believers, one of the things we're saying is like, this is great, but we actually have like better, we have better promises. Like, yes, this was good and this is great, but this was all leading to Christ anyway. And so with that light, not only are we viewing, you know, serving and fearing Lord differently, we're also doing so and saying, okay, because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, what does this mean for us then about serving other gods? What does this mean then for us to say, hey, my house will serve the Lord? And I think that's often devoid, not only from pastors sometimes that preach from texts like this, but I think sometimes when we read Old Testament texts, that's not a thought in our head because it's not directly mentioning Christ. And so that's another thing we haven't brought up yet. We may in the next few, but just making sure that we're also thinking in light of that. I mean, we're not these people in this time. We're on the other side of the cross. So how does that affect how we read this and what we get from it? So,
yeah. Yeah, I think too, you know, when you talk about, so at the end of, and we've talked about this before on here, but at the end of every sermon at Hillside, every week we do the Lord's Supper. And so there has to be a tie-in. I don't care if we're in Leviticus or whatever it might be, there has to be a tie-in to the gospel. And there always is because that's the whole point from cover to cover of the scriptures is Christ and him crucified. I mean, that's the middle of the whole thing. That's what the whole Old Testament, in fact, this has a lot to say, this one little section about that, because earlier, one of the first things that it mentions, is that in at the end of verse 2, that Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So these people were pagans. They were sinners. They were whatever. God chose them and called them and then did all these things. Then he lists a bunch of things that he did, right? And then we hear this focal point, if you will, right, that we've picked, right, 15. But then after that, we get this really scary, weird section where he says, you will not be able to serve Yahweh, for he's a holy God and he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or sins if you forsake Yahweh and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. Well, what does a New Testament Christian do with that? You know? So if you're doing actual legitimate Bible study, you're going to run into stuff like that and you're going to have to go, okay, what's the point of writing that? Because that's not true. That's not objectively true because of Christ, right? So you have to keep reading. You have to study and look at context to know what's being talked about. And you have to know, go a little bit further. And he's simply driving home the point, it seems to me, that that this you're making this claim, right? You're saying that you're gonna that this is the choice you're making, right? And And so what does the rest of the Old Testament look like? Well, they attempt and fail and attempt and fail and attempt and fail. And God ultimately sends the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent, you know, to fix the whole thing and to forgive the trespasses and sins of his people. So this is important to remember, that this, or somewhere in the New Testament or wherever, this is one small snippet of a huge story that you must know to make real meaningful application in your life as a Christian. And that story is the story of Christ and the gospel of God. And if you know the whole story overall, you're going to be able to make really solid application, even from verses that make you go, wait a minute, whoa, hold on, you know. But
yeah, for sure. So guys, hopefully that was helpful. Again, each of these is going to be a different, so there's going to be different stuff that comes out in all of them, so make sure you tune in next week as well. And if you missed last week, go back and listen to that, and we will talk to you later. Bye.